This episode of the comment section is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. Since the dawn of bread, we've known the truth. Sliced is better. That's why new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail style flavors: pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only. This episode is brought to you by Accounting Plus. Ignore the unschooled skeptics. In terms of career, accounting is the way to go. We're talking flexibility, great pay, and the kind of lifestyle you've always dreamed of. It's a lifestyle that's less math and spreadsheets and more traveling, personal and professional growth, and making a positive impact on your family and community. If this sounds like what you're into, Accounting Plus provides free resources that will help guide you to a successful career in accounting and personal freedom. Do more, live more. Visit joinaccountingplus.com.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
My first Frenchie that I had, he was having stomach issues and like was blowing shit out of his ass like a flare gun, like all over the wall. I was like, oh. And then at like the crack of dawn, we went to the specialist. She like came in and was like, oh, I need you to sign this. And I signed it. She's like, by the way, I'm such a big fan. Can I take a picture with you?
No.
And
I was like, well.
You're like crying. And she's like, by the way, can I get a photo? He's like, why are you being a bitch?
Welcome back to another episode of the Comment Section Show, starring me, your fave. Everybody knows me. Who cares about me? On to the guests. Today, have two iconic, legendary YouTubers, the one and only Smosh, a.k.a. Ian and Anthony.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you.
I'm happy to be in the presence of greats.
Oh.
What? Of YouTube greats.
Well, who made you say that?
We're like great grandfathers.
Yeah. We're very, well, very old.
You are a lot older than me. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. We're pushing 50.
I mean, closer to 40 than we are 30 now.
That's true.
So.
That's true.
I'm honored to have you on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Are like some, when I think of like original content creators, I think of people like y'all.
Okay.
Like who like really pioneered like a new wave of like job employment. I'm thankful for it now.
I'm thankful for it.
So am I.
Because we didn't think this was going to be a job.
Yeah. Well, that's what actually kind of what I want to start with. I'm so curious to know how y'all fell into YouTube and how it like started. Because I know your YouTube arc.
Yeah.
But I'm curious how y'all got into YouTube in the first place.
It was all accidental, really, because we started making some videos just on our own with a webcam that I borrowed from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And we hosted it on the website that I was programming, Smosh.com. And then we did a Google search and found that it was uploaded to this new site, YouTube, that we had never heard of. And that's how we found it. It was all just an accident.
And how do y'all know each other originally? Like, how did you start making videos together?
Yeah, we've been friends since sixth grade, but we didn't really make videos until like we got out of high school. So it was like we were just kind of like, had we ever made a video before?
Not really. We made like flash animations and stuff because that was popular in early internet days.
Yeah.
And we weren't even super close as friends, but then Ian started bumming rides off me in high school. And then we became close friends.
I don't know where you started with this propaganda. I don't know if that's totally true.
That's in my head, the narrative, and I'm going with that until the day I die.
I feel like he started this canon like, like 2 years ago.
It's actually not true.
He soft launched this. Like, he wasn't really my friend until he bumped.
He's been microdosing it over the last 10 years.
Yeah. Testing the waters. Yeah. With that.
And like, I think my problem was that, because I don't trust my memory.
I'm gaslighting him, and then I'm like, this is the new story, bro. This is this is the new narrative and arc we're going with.
Yeah, because he said it once, and I was just like, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You're Florence Pugh, and Don't Worry, Darling.
Remind me of
that. He put you to sleep.
Dude, movie. Oh, God.
Not a fan.
I mean, it was one of the worst movies I saw in theater ever. It was, but it was like
she
funny.
She was great in it.
We were laughing our asses off.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Anyone But You. Have you all seen that movie? The Sydney Sweeney one?
With Glenn. No. Oh, but that was like super successful though, right?
Yeah, confused as to why, but like, I mean, love her. Love
it's not good.
No, not even a little bit. Like,
it's not like funny?
No, not even a little bit. It's funny because it's so bad. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what.
But it's like, but it's like two hot people on screen.
And I think
like,
that's why I did well.
Yeah, sure.
Good on you. Happy for you. Unfortunately, some of us have to be funny for a living.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Dude, that sucks. Sucks for us, man. But
sorry.
Good for them.
We're bridge trolls compared to Sydney Sweeney, so. All right.
I mean, isn't everyone?
Okay, so you started bumming rides, and that's how you
became. Yeah, apparently. As a contemplating, you know, I want to fix the narrative now. I'm sorry for coming at, for gaslighting you. But I will say that we became closer friends because we were forced
spending
to be
so
in the car
true.
Spending time after school together.
That's true.
We played video games at your place. We hung out at my place. We're bored. And then we picked up the camera and started messing around.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then when you saw that it was put on YouTube, like, what was the initial reaction?
I think...
From y'all and audience.
Yeah. There were a very little amount of people that interacted with it. It was like 12 people that interacted with it. Mm-hmm. And they were like, whoa, funny. Ooh. And we were like... Is this a platform that we should consider
utilize.
Putting our stuff on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was free.
Yeah, exactly. Because
people
don't realize that in the early days of the internet, there weren't just like platforms that you could upload video to for free.
Yeah.
And if you hosted it on your own website, the more views that it got, the more that you'd be paying for bandwidth.
Oh. And so there was no way to expensive. Make money. So it's just like,
I'm spending money.
You were just losing money.
Yeah, I'm just paying for people to watch my webcam videos.
Yeah, you're like, this is
those
stupid.
Kind of
you're upside down in the business already.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not a good business. Wasn't a good business plan.
No,
at the beginning.
Not at all.
When did you guys decide to like really lock in and kind of do this together and like you're like I think this could turn into something? Was it just like consistently putting out videos and seeing like traction or was it
I got into it just for the attention really.
I got into
that's
to fill the void in my
crave.
Heart as well.
That's fair, that's valid.
Yeah, I crave the
made
attention.
Me feel important.
I think you have to like attention to some extent in order to do this for a living.
Oh yeah,
there's no way.
Oh
you
yeah
can't.
The people that are the best at it are the most extreme narcissists. But I think like, I mean, it was just crazy because that's not like, we didn't make these videos with any intention of it being like popular. We didn't even know that you could become popular for making internet videos.
Totally.
It was just like, we made like some silly videos and then people started watching her like, what is this?
Yeah.
So we just kind of like rode the momentum. We just kept making more and more people kept watching them. So then we just kept doing it. and then a little bit down the road it started making some money and then we were like, maybe it's not a career, but maybe we can like make this like a sustainable thing or like turn it into like a small business while we're going to college. And so that was kind of the initial plan, and then and then like once we started making like decent money, then we're like, we can put college on hold and just focus on like making YouTube videos.
Oh, okay. So you guys dropped out at the same time? Are you guys both?
Yeah.
You guys both dropped
out? Yeah. We're both professional dropouts.
Yep.
Thank God it worked out.
I know, right?
Your parents are like, whoo.
They were a little bit like, but also I was like, we can always go back if we really have
that's
to,
true.
Right?
Yeah,
we can't necessarily go back to this moment where like this is the perfect time for this new platform that's
totally.
Taking off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was our argument.
Yeah, I was going to ask, too, if you guys were doing it at the same time you were in college, because that would be fucking hard. Because I already graduated when I built a platform.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine having to do that at the same time of having to be a student.
I feel like there was less pressure back then, though, because I think that we only release a video, like, every 3 weeks. Like,
yeah.
One video
like,
every 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's not like TikTok, where you have to put out 3 videos a day.
Yeah.
It was like,
or else
it was like we were
relevant.
Yeah, like, we were putting out, like, one video every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was considered consistent.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, because at the time, people just made one-off viral videos or just one-off videos for their friends. And there really wasn't, like, a continuous momentum that was even established.
Yeah. Or people, like, following one specific person to see that just their content. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Really
there were
the
very
time.
Few people that made consistent content with a consistent audience.
Yeah. Was there a video where y'all like it went super, super viral and you guys were like, ooh, like this could, maybe this could be something, or like,
yeah, I thought you meant like, ooh, like a bad
thing. No, yeah, good ooh. Thing. Because back then going viral was always a good thing. Now it's like this can be a horrible thing.
Sure.
But like,
yeah.
Oh yeah. A lot of times it's a horrible thing.
Yeah.
Most I think times. Of like, yeah.
And going viral back then was different because going viral back then would mean like 100,000 views in a day.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
that, which was crazy. Yeah. But no, it was actually one of our first videos, so we didn't even get a chance to like feel out what this world was like before going viral, which is the weirdest thing to say.
Yeah.
It was our first video that we uploaded specifically for YouTube. It was like a week after we made our account.
Damn.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, guess we're just lucky like that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was like, guess we're viral now.
Yeah. Pretty privileged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Turns out you are like Sydney Sweeney.
Mm. Well, back then, you know, we were young, supple 18-year-old boys. Mm-hmm. So
now you're a grown man.
Yeah, we're
at all.
Just getting
we're
by.
So strung out at this point.
Yeah,
like skin's falling off. Mm-hmm. You know.
When did you guys decide to like expand Smosh into more like the production side of things? Was it after you guys had seen like? We could, you know, maybe we could help other creators, or maybe we could platform other people.
I think
what was the driving force behind
it? It was
that?
Like 5 or 6 years after we started.
I think we were probably some of the first, because we were on the platform so early.
Mm-hmm.
We had realized that burnout was a very real thing, probably earlier than a lot of other creators.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
And so like we were talking and also talking to someone that was a business partner of ours, and we're talking about ways that we could like make this a sustainable thing, and like how can we continue to do what we do, you know, 5 or 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And the decision was, or the realization was that we couldn't continue to do everything with just me and him doing every facet for forever.
At that point, were you guys still, you guys were filming, editing, uploading, like all on your own still?
There's we had like a camera guy, and that was about it. And then Anthony would do all the editing for the sketches. And so it was just a lot.
Yeah.
And totally. I think like we had fortunately like realized that, you know, after a few years, it was like, oh, you know, we were just doing YouTube every single day, and days were just blending into each other.
We literally didn't have a weekend. Like, we had nothing except this.
Just constantly filming, cutting.
Yeah. And it was just like, of course, when you're 18 or 20, like you can do that.
Yeah.
Like you can just go hard and be fine.
Totally.
But we were like, okay, maybe we should start treating this like a job and like take weekends off.
Yeah. Not like our life. It's not like everything we do always.
Yeah, totally. And
girl,
so
I haven't seen the sun in a couple weeks. So
yeah, when I started getting vitamin deficiencies, that was a wake up call.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think I need to go touch grass or something.
Yeah,
pet a dog, go outside.
Yeah,
that's like the hardest part I think about doing this is like other than just being accountable.
Petting a dog?
No, not necessarily.
Okay,
that's relatively easy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's like doing this for a living. It's like your whole entire life is online, and your job, your like engagement, all of that, your emails, your team, like all communication is online.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, I think I need to go like be a normal human and go outside or something.
Yeah. What sort of do you set up boundaries? Like, are there certain things that you don't share online, or do you go like, that's for me?
Yeah. All the time.
Okay.
All the time. There's like, I for a while I didn't share my brother because my little brother just graduated from high school. So he's 19 now. And for a while, I didn't share him because he went to public school, and people are weird and creepy. And like, they were like, oh, I think I know where, like my nail girl told me that some girls that she was doing their nails, they were like, oh, I know you have Drew as a client. Like, I'm a big fan. And she was like, okay. Like, she's just real. She doesn't share anything about me. And then they were like, I think your brother's in high school. Do you know if he goes to high school, like anywhere around here or like, and I was like, What the fuck? Like, I got really weirded out by it. So there's a lot of boundaries I've set around family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like my home. Because some people are like, oh, do a house tour. And I'm like, you're never getting a house tour for me. Never. Mm-mm. You'll like see one wall and that's it.
Yeah. It's so tempting in the early days to like give people what they want.
Yeah, share everything.
But then it's just like the more you give, the more they want.
Yeah. And then they remember everything.
Right.
You got to do the Architectural Digest thing. where like a lot of those celebrities, they do the house tour and then they sell the house.
Yeah, right. Immediately.
And, like, and or they do it when you know yeah. you're going to sell it.
Or they do it right after they've sold it.
Or
yeah.
after.
Yeah.
But I think some of them use that as like a way to like boost the value.
That's
of
such
the
good
house.
Marketing though,
that
for
is,
real.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna log that away when so. I'm important enough to be in there.
Well, I'll yeah. I mean, you know, away. When you're about to sell your house, just hit
reach
up AD,
out,
hit up an interior designer, yeah. fill that house with fucking bowls of lemons.
Yeah.
The limes. Then, yeah, I saw that limes. One. I saw, you know, that's interesting you say that too, because I remember when Kendall Jenner did one, like her, the guy who's like stalking her or whatever, like found that house and everything, and she was still living in it. So
ooh.
That's like, I think she was planning on moving, but she hadn't yet. And like,
ooh.
It's just shit like that. I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
not sharing it. I can't. I,
yeah.
Do y'all set boundaries like that? You've been on the internet for a while. So I'm curious to know your thoughts if it's like changed at all.
Yeah. We've
for
like
sure.
the parasocial relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I used to put everything in my life on the internet. I had
yeah.
relationships. I
yeah.
had vlogs
yeah.
for years. I just had everything on the internet.
He's like, yeah, you sure did.
He knew it was a bad choice.
He had a whole vlog channel. And
yeah.
And I disagreed with
he
it.
He knew. That yeah. he knew it was a bad idea at the time. I'm like, you don't get it, man. This is what people want. You gotta give them what they want.
It's true.
Turns
it is
out,
what they wanted.
Yeah,
it
you're
turns
right.
out it was not a good idea.
Yeah.
But I had,
was
to, I had to learn the hard way.
It was successful.
But it doesn't even matter. I had to learn yeah. the hard way. Some shit, you just gotta learn the hard way.
Yeah, I feel that's something. I even talked about this yesterday with another creator, but I was like telling her this job is so niche. That the problems you have in this job, you would
right.
never learn about in any
right.
other job. Like, there's just no way to know how to deal with it
mm-hmm.
until you have to deal with it.
And right. then you learn from other people, like, oh, that person had a stalker that found them because of this thing. And you're like,
exactly.
Okay.
I've told people, okay. like, my biggest piece of advice for you as a creator is to make other creator friends. Like, build community and, like, lean on each other and, like, ask for help and advice and all that. Because that's what I had to do because... I'm like, I had such normal ass jobs before this. So
right.
I had no way, like when I was a server, they would not teach me how to like make sure people can't find out where I live. Like
right,
how
no.
the fuck was I supposed to know that?
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And I've told people, I'm like, your like information is so readily available sometimes. Like there's so many protocols you have to put in place in order to protect that.
Yeah.
You didn't learn that shit in college.
No. And you know, it's wild. Like for example, when we started shooting our sketches back then, there wasn't any Google Maps. The most
yeah.
that you could really get was like MapQuest, and that
yeah.
did not have satellite view. It did
yeah.
not have
a
Google Street View.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we would just be like, whatever, we could just shoot anywhere we want.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we'll
we found
the
out
front of the house.
And then we found out like a few years later, like, oh shit, people can use Google Maps
now
they
can find us.
Perfectly pinpoint where you live.
And that's what they did.
And that was an issue. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was a huge issue
yeah.
for a while. Everyone knew where we lived.
I was curious how you guys dealt with like the parasocial like boundary crossing. And it's more so like for people, they love you so much and they just like
yeah.
they want to show you how much they love you. But sometimes it's too much. It's like it's
yeah.
okay.
I would guess that streamers probably deal with this a little bit more
mm-hmm.
because there is even more of that direct like social engagement, parasocial
yeah.
kind of relationship.
Totally.
I think because like we do comedy and a lot of our stuff is more like a joke and less like
personal.
Like, hey, like we're friends.
Yes.
Like I think our relationships with our viewers are a little bit better.
Yeah, a little bit more removed.
Yeah, yeah. Like I don't think I've ever had like an extremely uncomfortable interaction with somebody in real life.
Really?
Not even
when they recognize
there's
you.
One
there's,
that I could
so.
Think, there's one that I could think of at VidCon.
You're actually,
like,
I'm a liar.
That was like,
yeah.
okay, like you're not taking social cues.
yeah, that happens.
But
what happened?
Oh, just the, you know, just some weird stuff.
I think I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not worth mentioning.
I'll share
yeah.
one with you. When I think it was like early last year, I have a Frenchie. Well, I have two Frenchies. Nice. But my first Frenchie that I had, he was having stomach issues, and like my boyfriend and I had to keep taking him to the vet like over and over again. I was taking him to different vets, like, because they just could not figure out what was wrong with him, and he would vomit all the time, and it was just freaking me out. So like at one point we took him to a specialist because I genuinely thought he was dying, because he was up all night. Like he got up every 20 minutes, had to go, and was blowing shit out of his ass like a flare gun. Like literally it was like all over the wall. I was like, like watching. I felt so bad for him. He was up all night. I was cleaning shit all night. And then at like the crack of dawn, we went to the specialist and we took him there, and they took him back, and they were like, oh, telling us it could be this, it could be this, it could be that. And so what they were telling us was that he could have some sort of stomach cancer, and that's why. And then I was like thinking, I'm gonna have to put him down tonight. He's only a year old. And we were both crying, like me and my boyfriend, very emotional. And they were like, okay, like we're gonna take him back really quick, run some tests, we'll be back. One of the nurse, like, or the vet techs, she like came in and was like, oh, I need you to sign this. And I signed it. She's like, by the way, I'm such a big fan. And then I'm like, thanks. And then she's like, can I take a picture with you?
No.
And I was like, well.
You're like crying. And she's like, by the way, can I get a photo?
I know this might be a little awkward. I don't know when my window's going to close, though. Would you mind if I took a photo? Like, I was like, do you care if I find out if my dog's going to die first and then maybe after, if I'm feeling up to it?
I was going
to
say, did you know how to say no? Because sometimes it's so awkward.
That was,
you know,
one of the first times I said no. Like, right. I was like, do you mind if I, like, wait to see if I'm gonna have to die alongside my dog, or like
she's like yeah, I do mind actually. Yeah. Actually, right now is the busy time. Yeah.
She's like, why are you being a bitch?
No, literally, like as soon as I was like, do you mind if I like wait until I find out what's wrong with my dog, she was like, okay. And she just walked away like she's pissed off at me.
What?
What?
Yeah, she was pissed at me. She was fucking mad at me.
No,
and I was like, all right. Like, and I live in fear of that because I don't want people to have bad experiences. No,
and
with
it, all
me.
It takes is one person, too, to like blow up this whole
story, like,
about
this
how.
This is why I'm unfollowing Drew.
Yeah.
And they make a video about me and everyone's like, I fucking knew it. Yeah. She's always been bad vibes. Like, yeah. The shit just rolls like
for
that.
For real.
And so I remember posting on Instagram for the first time. I was like, let's talk boundaries, all right? Like,
yeah,
I really need you guys to hear me when I say this. Like, there are certain times and places it'd be great if you could read a room. That would be awesome. Like,
some people can't read a room.
They really can't. And I get it to an extent.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't. Because even now, like, y'all know, doing this now, it puts you in rooms with some of the most famous people in the world. And even then, I'm like, I'm not going to ask because that's weird. Like, we're in a working environment where it's perfectly okay if I ask for a picture. And even then, I'm like, I don't want to bother them. That's weird. So I can't imagine doing it when someone's vulnerable.
For real.
I can't imagine that. So.
I could definitely see. I totally agree with your side. Yeah. And I think you did. I think what you did was right.
Mm-hmm, of course.
But I do see her side where she's like, I'm never going to get this opportunity again.
Yeah,
I'm
same.
A big fan.
And that's the tough part, right?
I'll just go for it.
But, yeah.
And that's fine. But to give you attitude about it,
right,
that's the part where I'm like, okay, like, come on.
Don't be a dick to me. Like,
it's definitely read the room. Like, she's used to like animals dying all the time.
That's so true. She's desensitized, right?
For real, she's like,
what's the big deal? You're your dog's dying. So what?
She's like,
so are people.
You're going to die. I'm going to die. We're all going to die.
Yeah.
Bro.
But you know what's going to live forever? That picture.
Yeah.
So
let's go ahead and take that picture.
Yes. Yes. The one immortalized thing we could get right in this moment. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. In fruit and life, there's no juice without the slice. It's what freed the pineapple from the rind and turned your old jeans into cute jorts. Introducing Captain Morgan Sliced. Four cocktail-inspired, ready-to-drink flavors. Pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only. This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place we're always daydreaming about. Whether it's the snow-capped mountains, white sand beaches, a best friend's wedding, or even a hometown visit, we all have one. My happy place, personally, is my second home, which is in Hawaii. And everybody knows, because that's where I've been living, and I live there and in California, and I love Hawaii, and I love traveling there. So wherever your happy place is, Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. And did you know that when you bundle and save with Priceline, you can save up to $625 when you book your flights and hotels together? We all know the feeling. 100 open tabs across 50 different sites trying to find the best deal. Just use Priceline and simply book your entire trip in one place. They truly have deals you cannot find anywhere else. And everybody loves a good deal, girl. So make sure you get that value off of Priceline. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline.
The worst one I've ever gotten was at the gynecologist. That's the worst one.
No Stop. Way. No, Stop. Not in the moment. Not yeah. That, no.
No, it was after. Okay. Like, after my
That's still
exam.
Just as bad, though.
Like,
honestly.
The doctor or another patient?
It was a nurse, yeah. So, like, she was in the room, though, like, when I was, like, getting my exam. And then when I left, she was checking me out and, like, on the form. And she was, like, asking me all these questions. And, personal questions. Like, literally, like, very vulnerable personal questions. Like, you do with the nurse and the doctor. Yeah. And then at the very end, she's, like, by the way. Really big fan.
No,
and I was like, no. Well, see, you didn't have to tell me that. I'm glad I'm actually.
But she
I'm
didn't ask glad. For a photo.
No. But oh. I think it's because she read my energy. Because like,
yeah.
Why would you tell me that after I told you my home address?
Yeah.
And my you saw my private parts. My private parts. Well, I'm yeah. like you were literally in the room when I was getting a pap smear, and now you wanted to be, big fan. By the way.
Yeah.
I don't. And that's yeah. the thing is like, if you do know, you don't have to tell me.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to ask for a picture, which she didn't even end up asking for, and I think that's why.
She's probably like, she's chill.
She's real
she's
cool.
She's real cool with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. She seemed kind of annoyed when I did
that. I don't know if I've ever... I'm trying to think of, like... I don't know if I've ever been in a situation where, like, somebody told me they're a fan, and it was, like, weird. Aside from, like, I went on a date one time, and then the person told me mid-date
yeah.
that they were like a fan and that they had like auditioned
for Smosh.
And I was just like, bro,
like again, you didn't have to tell me
why? Well, I mean, I would have preferred they told me before we went on the date.
Yeah.
I would have just not gone on the date. Cause that seems like a big, like
no,
but this is like a really cool meet and greet.
Like yeah.
really cool meet and greet, like one-on-one.
Yeah.
She's like, I did audition and I would like to try again if that's okay with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, right,
she
yeah.
tries again.
And she just starts doing a monologue in front of us.
I do have something prepared if that's okay with you.
She slides you a business card at the end.
Yeah.
I think it's awkward too when people are like a handyman in my house or like working on something. They're like, big fan, by the way. So, and they're like, they're in my home just like hanging out with me.
Yeah.
It's a little bit weird there.
That's another thing I fear. That happened once with Instacart. Like,
oh, yeah.
I always, first of all, fake names on everything. Like, I tell them no contact, leave it at the door. Don't wait for me. Literally get off my porch before I open my door.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I literally write in there, just leave it. Don't ring the doorbell. It's okay. Right? Like,
yeah.
And we left it, but I remember she was leaving the stuff, and I, one of the things needed to be scanned. It's like you need an ID or whatever if it's over a certain amount or if it's alcohol or something. So my boyfriend was like, I'll get the door. So he like went and he got it, took all this stuff, she scanned, and then she goes, I think I know your girlfriend. Aren't you guys like really big on TikTok? Oh my god, does she live here? And then my boyfriend was like, nope, and he just closed the door.
Good move.
Nope. Never heard of that person in my life. Close the door.
I've gotten a lot better at setting boundaries, but still every once in a while, something will just catch me so off guard that afterwards I'll be like, why did I say yes to that?
Well, I'm a very agreeable person.
Yeah.
So I'll go along with most things.
That's his curse.
Yeah. It's a problem.
Like, I had a USPS guy.
Oh, no.
A couple days ago, actually.
Literally a couple
days
ago. Yeah,
delivering box to me. And he's like, you need a sign for this. Oh, by the way, are you from Smosh? Can I get a picture? And I was like, why did I said yes. I was like,
sure, do you want to come into my home?
I was like, well, he's in his outfit. I hope he can't post this.
Yeah,
know?
Literally. I think about that a lot, too, with things like that. Even, I'm also, like, as confrontational as I am online, like, I'm very bad at that with fans because I don't want them to have a bad experience, and I understand, and like
it's hard when you really appreciate
everything. Exactly, so I don't want to be rude or a dick, but like sometimes I like really do, like it is so incredibly weird and uncomfortable. Like one time I called my bank and like I had to ask them to help me with something, and the lady's like, oh yeah, like she's like, let me ask you security questions, right? She took all my security questions, my fucking passcode, my address, my phone number, like all that shit, my email, my personal email. Takes all the information, she goes, okay, great, I'm gonna transfer you. By the way, I love your TikToks. You're so funny.
And she's like, wow, I'm looking at your account. They're paying you a lot. Damn, you're making that money.
She's like, congrats. Yeah. Have you ever thought about investing in a savings account with us? Yeah, yeah. Like, she just leverages it into selling me something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part was, that was really terrible too. And I have a very small bank, so it's like, there's only so many people that it could be.
Sure.
And you can't lie on those. Like, I wish I could put a fake name.
Right. On my bank account. Yeah.
Like, on my personal shit. Like, my personal documentation. It's a lot harder, I think. And unless I'm going to evade the law, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Change your name.
That is true. I could legally change it. That'd but then I have good. To tell everyone else. I guess. Oh, I guess I wouldn't, huh? If I was, like, just making videos?
No. I never thought about that. You could just change your name and like, then legally. Not tell anyone you change your name.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then all your documents would be on it.
Yeah, it's kind of like when like super famous people put fake names when they check into hotels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know. That's why I'm like, how do they get to do that? Because you have to show an ID. I think that all the time. I don't know. Like Harry Styles, if you're interested, please tell me how you do that.
True.
But even the truest fangirls, like they'll find out what that fake name is.
Yeah.
Like one of my friends who used to like, she used to follow One Direction back in the day. Mm-hmm. She
like literally followed.
Like literally followed. Yeah. I'm not even kidding. Like literally.
Yeah. She's in prison now. Yeah.
She did write it to me in a letter. Yeah. Because we're pen pals. But she told me that she knows what name he uses. I don't even remember what it is. When he goes to hotels.
And shouldn't you be switching it up, right?
You would think.
You would think.
But I guess the OGs know it. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're getting smarter. We have to stay one step ahead.
Right. Which is tough.
Yeah.
I am curious, too, when it comes to, like, the world of content creation, have y'all seen, like, a major shift now that things like TikTok or, like, Reels or whatever, like, short-form content, even mine back in, like, 2015-ish.
Yeah, definitely.
As it like shifted the medium a lot.
I feel like the biggest shift was when people just started making money.
Like,
yeah.
I can't believe we were around to see like what people were doing when they were just like, I want to make this and I guess I'm losing money on buying the equipment. But that was a big shift when people started realizing you can get rich off of this. And then just like a completely different mentality of like algorithm hacking and
that's
stuff like
true.
That.
Yeah.
Right.
Clickbaity things like start working their way in.
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean like you definitely like notice it. I think like VidCon is like a great example of like the people you see at VidCon and kind of the shift in like I feel like there was like one shift where I was like, oh, everyone at VidCon now is like hot. Where like in the beginning it was like, you know, it's just a bunch of weirdos. You know, like and it's like, oh, like things changed, like this feels like it feels very Hollywood now.
Yeah, it's like the worlds are blending together.
Yeah,
like at a rapid pace.
Mm-hmm. And then like, and now it's like it's so there's a lot of people that are just very business focused.
Mm-hmm.
So like networking a lot of people like will like focused. Just come up to us, not even say like, oh, hey, like, you know, oh, I love your content or whatever.
Yeah.
They'll just be like, hey, so I have, they'll just be like, hey, I'm blah, blah. I have 10 million subscribers on TikTok. Yeah. Check out my this video has 20 million views on TikTok. I'm like, okay. Like,
congratulations.
And they're like, want a collab?
And it's like, collab, like what do you do? It's like, and then you find out what they do and you're like, I'm good.
You're I can't really collab with that person. Yeah. I wish you the best. You know what's so funny, the only time that's ever happened to me and the most it's ever happened to me is at VidCon.
Yeah.
Shit like that. That's the only, I've been to VidCon twice. Mm-hmm. And like that's the only time that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, because I think it's like I get it, because it's like people don't, a lot of these people don't get an opportunity to like network with other creators.
Yeah. Well, especially ones like y'all, like you guys have been in the industry forever and like you guys are so well established and have created businesses out of content creation. So like I get what you mean. Like I see it kinda what they're going for.
Right.
But I'd like rather people like meet me
and get to know you
at a place of like what, like let's talk about content.
Yeah.
And not about like numbers.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't matter, because then when they start to explain their content, I'm like,
like, so do you wait, like why? Doing this?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Big time.
He's like, I actually hate it. Yeah. But it does really well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
So it's just like, I don't know. Like I don't enjoy those interactions.
There are definitely creators that will come up and like talk, just be so excited and passionate about what they're making and they want to share that. And I love that.
Yeah. That's cool.
You know, that's kind of what VidCon used to be in the earliest days.
And then it used to be so collab focused. I feel like back in the day when I used to watch vlogs of people at VidCon all the time. Like they're all making videos together. And like, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Because I'm 28, going to be 29 this year. So like I was around when y'all were like huge on YouTube, like first, you know what I mean? And then like the Jackie Inas, the Zoellas, the like Casper Lees, like all of them, all everyone at the same time. Like I grew up in that era, so I know what that looks like. And then when I went, it's very different.
It's very, it's very different. Yeah. Everybody's like, everybody's a business person now. Like, it's like business first. And I get it. Like,
everyone understands the analytics and you know, the best the business practices and the algorithm. But I will say, I do really appreciate how TikTok has, and, you know, Instagram Reels and all that has allowed anyone to make their own shorter form content that doesn't, it's low lift.
It's a lot more accessible than what YouTube required. Because
YouTube was kind of that in the beginning, but YouTube has evolved to kind of reward longer content, a little bit more production, a lot of that. So then it feels like TikTok and Reels have kind of fell into that place to be accessible in the way that YouTube used to be about.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like even like when I've had interactions like that, it is very numbers focused. Like they're all like, oh, I have this many followers and I get this many views. And I'm like, okay.
What they're basically saying, like, so here's my worth.
Yeah. So they're like, so you should make a video with me. Why? Yeah. I just met you. Like, and that's, that's weird.
It's so dangerous on the other end too. Just like to see your own personal value as your number.
Yeah.
That's scary because if that number, when that number eventually goes down.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to know how to come back up from it.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like too, and I got this question the most at VidCon too, which was like, how do I like grow a platform? Like, how do I go viral?
Yeah.
How do I go viral? Right. And I was like, well, okay, first of all, I can't tell you how to do that because I don't even know how I did it.
Yeah.
And I was like, but also too, like, I think you should just make content that you enjoy and that brings you joy.
Even if you went viral, are you going to want to keep making it?
Exactly. Well, I'm like, virality is so not, like, there's no longevity in it. Like, you cannot say, I'm going to be viral forever.
Yeah. It's not like you get viral once and then you're set.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I've even told people, like, one time someone asked me, like, what's the best piece of advice you could give me if I want to, like, you know, take time off from work and, like, really try to focus on content creation?
Right.
And I was like, have a lot of money saved because you're not going to make a fucking dime for a long time.
Yeah.
Sure. So just keep that in you.
Right.
Like, you really got to love what you do because you aren't going to make a cent for a while.
And
like,
even if you do accidentally somehow stumble into a space where you do make money, you have to be prepared not to make money. Exactly. I think almost like in order to make the content that is worthy of making the money.
Exactly.
And that's why, like, the truest advice is the most boring and overdone advice.
Yeah. People are like, that's not what I want to hear.
It's like, where it's like, enjoy what you're making. And it's like, you know,
they're like, I've heard that before.
We all hate repeating that, but it's true because like, if you're not going to make any money from it ever potentially, or not going to make any money from it for like 3 or 5 years, are you really going to make content that you hate for 5 years straight?
Because
how are you going to feel about that?
Yeah, in the hopes that you make money. Yeah.
You have to be in the mindset that you could keep doing it for a long time. You could keep refining and refining and refining.
And evolving.
Exactly. And if it's something that you like, you're going to be excited about that next step and evolving with it. But if you hate it, you're going to constantly be like, well, what about this? That didn't work. What about this? Yeah. That didn't work.
And then, totally. And I feel like, too, virality has really warped people's idea of like, oh, I need to do it just like that person in order for it to do well.
Yeah. And it's almost like that person did it, so it's not going to work now, right?
Yes, it's like, well, that's been done.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Don't worry about that. And I've made that joke before. I'm like, there's only one Emma Chamberlain. Like, there's only one of her. So if she did it,
right,
we don't need to all be her in order for
if there were, if there was a recipe that she followed and everyone could do it.
Yeah, they would. Yeah. And that's why I was like, when people are like, oh, just post like 15 videos a day, I can't be doing that shit. No. I don't have time for that. Like, I was like, I'm tired.
Do you have a theory for how you went viral? Like, do you, like...
Absolutely. It's like, I kicked the shit out of men and people thought it was funny. Like, that's literally it. Like, that's
so there you go. That's how you do it.
It's like, a winning formula.
It works every time. That's what I was like. It's literally, I like beat the shit out of men that were awful. And then people found joy in that. Like, that's literally what it was.
It's cathartic.
Yeah. Right, for them, it was something that they hadn't like experienced before in their own life, and so that's why they liked me.
Yeah,
and but so
I tried the opposite. Just didn't.
Didn't like, it just wasn't people beating your ass.
No, I tried kicking the shit out of women, and people were like,
"Had
that's
the opposite
just,
effect.
Just not really a vibe."
That's how you and I met.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it was. That was my. That's my recipe. It was literally just that. Like, it was like, and I told people. I've told people before. Like, I can't tell you how to do that. Algorithms are unpredictable. I can't tell you how they work. Like,
and literally, what made you viral today will not necessarily make you viral.
Exactly.
Tomorrow.
That's why I was like, I've evolved my content severe. As soon as I got the platform, I started rolling balls in other directions. I was like, I got to start diversifying. I got to start doing other things.
Because
TikTok and social media as a whole is just not. It's not going to be forever. So like,
if you keep doing the same type of content, people slowly lose interest because that'll maybe have already found its core audience, and you'll just slowly they'll just dwindle away.
Yeah,
you have to always be finding a new audience.
And like the Emma Chamberlain example is great because she's evolved.
Exactly.
Like she's not still a VSCO girl.
Yeah, exactly. She has graduated.
Like
she's a Met Gala girl.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a fashion girl now.
Uh-huh.
She is evolved as well.
Yeah.
So if she continued doing VSCO girl, we would not be talking about Emma Chamberlain.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't be at the level she's at now.
Right.
And I feel like I'm curious your guys' thoughts on like the virality aspect, because I know like especially with things like TikTok, because it's like I feel like TikTok, it's so easy to go viral. It's not easy to sustain like a platform or build as it is on other platforms, I'm sure. But like, I'm curious if y'all have seen a shift in that kind of like hyper fixation on like, I need to go viral. I need to, you know what I mean? Because even like hearing people say like, I want to be an influencer. Like, that's weird for me to hear. Like, they're like, I'm aspiring to that. Like, I'm like,
because
that was like not even remotely an option back in the day.
Right.
It wasn't even a thing when y'all, like you said, you're old. That wasn't even a thing.
YouTube.
I mean, I think we're very fortunate to have built our audience on YouTube where you do build an audience and like a community of people that will consistently come back and watch your content.
Yeah.
Where it feels like TikTok, it's very easy to get views.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to build an audience.
Yeah. To build community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unless you like really nail like this one thing and then continue to do that thing.
But then also evolve away from it.
Yeah. So I think fortunately we built our audience on YouTube.
Yeah.
And with TikTok, it's like we're not doing like crazy numbers on TikTok like you, but we're just kind of like fucking around on it because like we can't commit.
Like, I told you another thing I gotta do. Yeah. Like when people bring new apps, they're like, oh, like Be Real, when that became a thing. I don't have it in me. I don't add another one to my plate. I can't do it.
Like, I don't want it. Stop making new platforms.
I can't do it.
Stop it.
Please stop adding them to my plate. Yeah, I can't take them anymore. Yeah. I'm over it.
This episode is brought to you by eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Whether it's a handbag, watch, sneakers, streetwear, or jewelry, eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms. This episode is brought to you by Accounting Plus. Ignore the unschooled skeptics. In terms of career, accounting is the way to go. We're talking flexibility, great pay, and the kind of lifestyle you've always dreamed of. It's a lifestyle that's less math and spreadsheets and more traveling, personal and professional growth, and making a positive impact on your family and community. If this sounds like what you're into, Accounting Plus provides free resources that will help guide you to a successful career in accounting and personal freedom. Do more, live more. Visit joinaccountingplus.com.
Okay, we're going to go into the topic because I've been talking y'all's ear. I've been asking y'all lots of questions.
Oh, let's go.
But obviously y'all are known like the godfathers of sketch comedy on the internet. And so I would like to run a couple sketch comedy sketches.
Okay, you got some premises?
Comedy loosely.
Okay.
These are TikToks. Like, these are men who like do sketch comedy on TikTok.
Okay.
But they're just only get your
thoughts.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Great.
It's a very specific niche.
Yeah, of sketch comedy.
These are real premises?
Yeah, these are real sketches that exist currently on the platform.
Oh, okay. I can't wait.
Copyright reasons, I can't show them to you, but I will describe them
to you.
So we'll go on an imagination journey together.
Oh, God, I can't wait to imagine this.
This one is, okay, so this guy, he posts a lot of sketch videos where he makes fun and over-sexualizes his girlfriend and women in general. Hilarious. Off the bat.
It's already hilarious.
Classic. In this sketch, in this particular sketch, he's walking out of a building with his girlfriend, holds the door open for her. Another girl walks by. He keeps holding the door open for the second woman. The second woman says thank you, and his girlfriend is mad at him for the rest of the day. Essentially, the joke is that his girl gets jealous over any small thing, any sort of female attention.
Wow.
First off, hilarious.
It's very
pretty evolved.
It's very Vine coded.
Yeah.
That's
like,
true.
This is what like all those like Vine guys
yeah,
did.
Yeah, real
back
King
in the
Batch
day.
Type mm-hmm. humor.
Yeah, where it's yeah. just like, oh, women are jealous.
Well,
and that's the joke.
Yeah. Do you think that they're like rage baiting? Like they're hoping that they get more interactions because it'll piss some people off?
I'm sure that's the case for
but
some of
them. But this is supposed to be a sketch.
Yeah, so I think it's honestly sometimes I think it's half and half. Like I think this is funny, and I also think people who don't find it funny are going to be so mad they're going
right.
to get engagement.
Like they get a high off of
yeah, it's
being
like
polarizing.
A win-win
that's
for
true.
Them.
Yeah,
And so the comments on this one, like this one says, "Dumper, the door girl is much hotter." These are real comments too from real people. I wish
oh,
I could
no.
show their usernames.
So some of these people must assume this is real.
Yeah,
is it like oh yeah, like is, not a skit?
Even though this
it's
is
just
like
oops, there's a camera filming us. Yeah.
This is why like 12-year-olds should not be allowed. to be on the internet because like because they don't have like any concept of like what reality is, maybe not a 12-year-old but a 9-year-old
yeah
like you know
even a 12-year-old
like
or,
they think
shit.
Thomas the Tank Engine is a real living breathing train.
Or is it a guy with like a NASCAR shirt on and glasses? Do you know?
I have no clue, honestly. I wish I did.
Oh,
know.
It's the sunglasses in
the sunglasses
truck.
In the truck. Yeah.
This next one says, "This is all the evidence you need to find another woman. That one's broken." Okay.
Cool.
You know, again, it's like I don't understand. Like you said, like there's just secret hidden cameras everywhere.
Yeah,
it's all cut together perfectly. Mm-hmm. I got to upload it.
Yeah,
like the security guy was like, "You should like put this on TikTok."
Yeah,
maybe the acting was really good.
Oh, I
maybe
bet.
It was
oh, I'm
really
sure was
really
great.
Good acting.
Like
sure
Darman.
Yeah,
just like yeah,
Oscar level Darman.
Yeah,
type,
Darman
stuff.
Type video.
yeah
he casts all the best actors.
Yes.
This last one says, "Meanwhile she can post herself half naked on social media and it would be no biggie, right?" Oh,
I love when people make up a
is that an assumption or did they
to, like,
stalk that person's profile?
Like, how
no he's just making up a scenario in his head. Like, meanwhile, she could start an OnlyFans and make $500,000 a month.
Yes.
It's not fair.
He's like, also, she stole money from me.
Yeah.
Where'd you get that from? That's so, I'm curious to, like, to know your thoughts on, like, how sketch comedy has changed on the internet. Like, you know how some sketch comedy in its purest form is silly and fun and entertaining.
Yeah.
And then I feel like, again, the virality part of the internet has warped it to be like, I'm going to make something that pisses people off so severely that I'm going to go viral no matter what.
Yeah, I think that's really what it's about now is like making the thing that you know will go viral. And usually that's because it's going to piss off a lot of people.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's what, you know, these platforms promote because they want engagement. They want longer.
Because they win no matter what. So.
Yeah, they want longer audience retention. And if it's in that case, it's fine, you know, for a lot of these platforms.
Yeah, that's so, I find that so upsetting. And I feel like, too, it's really ruined the purity of, like, the silliness of early YouTube days. Because, even, like, back in the day, I would watch sketch comedy on YouTube. Like, even Wong Fu, like, you know, they're, like, OGs, too. And, they used to make silly things or serious things. And they were always so fun and lighthearted. I feel like this kind of... And they were always sketches. Like, they're always made-up scenarios. They're written, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, this kind of shit, I feel like, has really poisoned the water when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Well,
do y'all feel that way?
I think... Well, I mean, if you look at, like, Wong Fu, like, all those guys were, like, film grads.
Yeah.
And so, like, they actually... They have like experience and stuff, and then when you have something like TikTok that lowers the barrier for entry, that's great.
Yeah,
but
also
like when you lower the barrier for entry, you also bring in people that have like no idea like how to create a sketch, or they just don't have any like sensibility for like what is like not sexist.
Or
they don't care.
Yeah,
like,
or they just don't care.
They're like, they might even know that it's like sexist, but to them it's like, I mean, that's like dad humor, where they're like, oh, the wife is jealous of me again because I open a later. You know, it's just like, it's just, it's, I don't like, know.
Like, hate my wife. Yeah. Fucking hate her.
Yeah.
So it's like, it lowers the barrier for entry, which is great, which is great for comedy and also bad for comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that person might have even seen that as a success, you know, depending on how many views it got.
Yeah.
Success.
They're like, a win is a win. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he probably made like 5 other videos that are the exact same thing.
Yep. Yep.
Well, I'm curious, just to wrap things up, I would love to know what y'all's best piece of advice would be for people who want to get into, whether it's like sketch comedy writing or it's creating long form content at all, or even like building a business for creators. Cause I know a lot, your guys's ability to like create a production, which can help amplify other creators or writers or comics or whatever. What's your guys's best piece of advice for people who either want to venture into this kind of content or maybe want to build something to help other creators? Like, what's your guys's best piece of advice?
Yeah, I think, you know, just you have to enjoy what you do. I hate it, but it's real.
I know, it sucks that it's so true.
Gosh, I mean, like, yeah.
I think a big part of it is, oddly enough, like finding what your like mission statement or goal is for what you're making. Because if you're just kind of loosely with no direction, just making stuff, you can't really find your own niche. But if you're like,
yeah,
like for Smosh, we kind of like huddle together and we're like, what is our main goal for Smosh in general? And it's comedy rooted in friendship. Love. You know, so like that has really helped us kind of set our sights on what is our purpose.
Yeah, totally.
So aside from just loving what you do, I think having a purpose for like, why am I making this? What do I want out of it?
Yeah.
And can I sit with it through the long haul of all the tough times that I'm going to have, like getting to the place that I want to get to, because there will be tough times.
Yeah, totally.
That's true. I mean, like, yeah, because you're going to go through ups and downs and it's very easy to just like want to follow whatever you think is going to be successful. But as long as you have that sort of like North Star of like, okay, like this is being successful, but how can I filter that through my sort of like mission?
Totally.
And I think to just have a strong point of view, like, work on yourself, work on maintaining like a strong point of view, have specific values that you can filter your content through. And then I think that'll help you have a more distinct viewpoint and point of view.
Yeah.
So that it just doesn't become like vanilla.
Yeah.
I also think a lot of people, you know, like, of course, taking risks is a good thing and taking risks is scary. People know that, but they get this idea that like the image they have for the perfect way it's going to unfold is the only way that it has to unfold.
Yeah, totally.
When in reality, you're not going to know how it's going to get to that point, and you have to have the patience and like discipline to keep it up throughout that entire process.
Yeah, totally.
And I mean, obviously way easier said than done. That is hard.
Well, y'all have done it. Y'all have done it and proved it. So your longevity speaks for itself.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, he quit Smosh.
Yeah, like, true. Ian fought through that shit. Yeah. Those tough times.
So, that was, you know, we haven't always been on it.
Yeah. But you're back and better than ever.
Yeah.
I mean, band's getting back together.
We sold our company for $0 million.
$0 million?
And then, I don't know why I said a million, because we sold our company for $0 and then had to buy it back for not $0. Yeah. We're not exactly business geniuses over here.
Yeah, yeah. So don't,
but you're still here. Well, thank y'all so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank
it's
you.
It's an honor to have two legends, two giants in the biz.
Stop.
Thank you so much to all of you for watching. Thank you to my amazing guests. Where can everybody find you?
Lots of things, but you can just search Smosh. And you can find us there. That's our main channel. We do sketches, that kind of stuff. Smosh Pit is our improv comedy, unscripted comedy type stuff. We read Reddit stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun time.
We got Smosh Games. We got Smosh Cast. We got the Anthony Padilla channel. Just search Smosh anywhere. You'll find something.
Yeah. A lot of funny people. People that are funnier than us are on our channels as well. So
I'm like, that's also true because I'm on there. So
it's true. It's true. Check out our roast.
Check out
of
the
Drew.
Funeral roast.
Yeah, the funeral roast with me. I also really quick want to say one of your one of the people there said a joke that was so funny. I still think about it to this day. But they were making fun of Spence Waugh. And they said that he is homophobia externalized.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was so good.
To this day, one of the funniest roasts I've ever heard. And it wasn't even about me. Yeah. It was at my roast. But thank you all so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Sorry, all you guys are amazing. Thank you all so much for joining us on this episode of The Comment Section. Thank you so much to Ian and Anthony, the creators of Smosh, the legendary Smosh. And make sure y'all go check them out on everything. Anyways, thank you so much. I love you all. Thank you so much to Ian and Anthony. Make sure y'all follow them on everything. And don't forget, new episodes of The Comment Section come out every Wednesday. You can stream the audio on all streaming channels, or you can watch the video for free, but it lives exclusively on Spotify. Please stop fucking asking me where the video is. It's not on YouTube. It's on Spotify. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next week. Bye.